And I am unanimous in that.
Testes. Testes. One.
One, two.
Three?
Three? I did that just the other day. Kelly and Owen didn't get it like I hoped they would.
You know, and things that, you know, you guys won't ever watch. So I'm watching The Bachelorette yesterday.
Yeah.
And they had to go, they were in Australia. And they were doing some kind of weird Australian shot where they put a kangaroo testicle in a shot glass, poured some kind of local, you know, beverage on top of it, and then you know, did the shot and then had to, you know, eat the kangaroo testicle.
You know, they made that up for that show.
Like, they could have.
No one does kangaroo testicle shots in Australia. It's an absolute non-thing.
I did not look up to verify the veracity of kangaroo
testicle
shots. Neither
did I, but I'm confident that it's fake.
I stopped listening when you said Bachelor.
No, not me. I had pivoted. I was watching a little, catching up on some John Oliver's last night, and,
Aestheticist for the win, by the way.
Nice. It was the episode where he was, you know, stuff I already knew. He was trying to frighten me about the severity of President Trump's potential second term. And I was like, yeah, I know, I'm scared, don't worry. But periodically throughout the episode, when things get too dark, he shows you a clip from MILF Manor 2.
Ooh.
And the fact that you watch that makes me so angry at you, Craig.
That show is so, so bad.
Angry.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're watching it ironically, the fact that you're watching it at all makes me so angry. It's so just, like, it's, like, beyond gratuitously bad.
Oh, yeah. It's
like,
horrific.
It's not even, like, but not to where it, like, breaks the threshold and becomes, like, a Sharknado situation. It's just horrible.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't go wrap around to where it becomes good and kitsch. No, right? It's just bad.
Hmm.
But sometimes I like to watch bad shows. I don't know what to tell you.
No, that's a lot of the times.
Yeah?
So,
I mean, it's not up to the high standards of, like, Below Deck or anything.
Right, but it makes me...
Or Vanderpump Manor.
It makes me hesitant to accept sentences from you like, oh, well, I didn't get to X because I didn't have time. Yes, you did. You watched MILF Manor 2 instead of anything else. Do whatever it is you were asked. Don't ever tell me you didn't have time for something. Shame on you.
Shame, shame, shame.
Seriously, I'm getting Ray a bell hat.
I watched that show this week, too. You guys caught up on Dragons, House of Dragons? Caught up on that?
Oh, no, I'm out.
I think I'm caught up. I think I'm caught up on House of Dragons and The Boys, and I'm behind, like, one episode on Acolyte, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm one Acolyte behind. I just finished Boys episode 6 yesterday, so I'm 2 episodes behind on that.
Mm.
I didn't know, has 8 dropped? Is the finale out?
Tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow.
So I'll get caught up with that soon.
You watched the episode with Tech Knight's Batcave and...
Yeah.
Give me a yo.
I did.
Oh, you saw that one?
Yep, that's what I just watched.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's something.
Yep, that was a lot to process.
So, I know we're going to be starting the show and I'm delaying even more, but I have a hot take on The Boys. Like, I enjoy watching The Boys, but I saw that there was a list of, like, the top 50 TV shows ever created, and The Boys was on that list. Shame on them. It is not a good show. It's funny. It's great for what it is. I'll watch every season. It should never be on a top show.
Oh, I disagree. I just don't know if it's top 50. It's top 100, you've won me back.
Definitely not the top 50 of the history of television. There's no chance.
I don't know. I think I would have to see what else is on the list. I would have to see what we're taking into consideration, you know, to be on the list. You know, I want to understand the parameters to see how subjective or not this is. But for all the reasons that Ray liked it but dismissed it, makes it a great show. Like, what greatness do you need brought to a television show?
It's too over the top to be a really great show. It is, the acting is over the top. It's not. I enjoy every episode. Don't get me wrong, but it is not a high quality TV, like special effects and all that. Sure, absolutely, it's really good, but it's a raunchy fun ride. It is not a good TV show.
And you will very much enjoy the episode where Ryan is doing the Christmas special.
Okay, I'm sure I will.
It's fabulous.
I have found that show to be well acted, well written. some of the concepts and like the to make it to bring it back around, you know, in, not in in the weird kitschy way, but like the violence is so excessive that you're not off put by the violence. Like the other things, they take it to such a level that it comes, I feel like it comes back around. I feel like it's when Peter bangs his knee on something, goes, and so after like minute six, it's so long, it's funny again. But like the boy, but I feel like it's got everything. I feel like I'm interested in the characters' lives. Again, I don't know who's listening right now and what, and I definitely want to stay as spoiler-free as possible, but in one of the recent episodes I watched, there was an exchange between Huey Jr., Huey Sr., and the mom that had me all sorts of twisted up inside. I thought it was fantastic writing and fantastic acting. And I think there have been many scenes like that throughout the thing between Butcher and Ryan, between Butcher and the lady who he was courting, you know, back before, between Annie and Huey, between Mother's Milk and his family. There's a lot of depth to the characters. I'm not super sure it's a top 50 of all time, but the idea that it could be on those lists is very much yes. Mm.
Well, you and I generally agree, and not on this, because there are scenes that are like that, but then there are scenes that are written by 16-year-olds that were just ridiculous.
Absolutely. I think the show, much like we like to talk about in other shows that we have, Ray, I can have both of those thoughts in my head and in my show at the same time, and it can be just as good.
Welcome
like
to the
one
boys
doesn't
forum.
Negate the other. Like multiple man doing stuff to himself does not negate the quality of the show. It just adds another element.
Like I said, I didn't want to delay the show that far. So
yeah, no, I do. I didn't, but since it was already delayed. Oh, and I want to get this in really quickly, things that I've been watching that I just finished. So I just finished that season of Top Chef that you recommended, Craig.
Ooh, yeah, that was good.
So it is. The only hesitancy, because I had a hypothesis, my wife had a hypothesis that I agreed with, and it proved correct throughout the show, and it makes the judges' table a little less suspenseful.
Okay.
If during the food judging, new host Christian Kish tastes the dish and swears, that person has won. 100% of the time on this season, that has happened, and that person has won.
That's a good observation.
It was just weird the first time it happened. The next 10 times it happened in a row, Kelly was like, yep, that's definitely the way it is. To the point where we knew who won the finale because of how she responded to one of their dishes.
Huh.
I still don't know who goes home at you know, necessarily, but...
Right, but you know who has the winning dish.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I didn't like is it felt to me like they slightly railroaded the guy from Wisconsin all the way to the end.
Yes, because he was the hometown boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, he cooks some good stuff, but...
And I don't know who invented, I'm going to throw kerosene onto a lit fire to boil some fish, but...
No, buddy, that's wrong with that. It never boiled over. It was a hoax.
Yeah.
And to be a professional kerosene thrower, I was like, this is lame.
Yeah, I was not down with that.
You're right, that was a dud.
But the rest of the episodes were good. That episode, I was like, oh, come on. But I generally enjoyed Kish. I thought she did a good job.
I love her. She's a great host. Great chef. Seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
I just, her tells are painful.
Hmm. Not quite where Padma kept it on suspense of, you know, what's going to happen.
Never, she had everything on lockdown.
Padma's got most things on lockdown.
Sorting, Chef Kish is sorting some things out. We'll get there. It was real good.
All right, that is the end of the boys' forum.
A little bit of Puzzle Quest. Yeah. Let's close this weird window into our lives.
It only killed 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's perfect.
All right.
It's the one boosted segment. Check.
Greetings, true believers. Welcome to the 429th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3, where we talk about the boys and
we talk about our TV watching habits. But you guys, if you've listened to the show, you know that's the case. This isn't a new thing.
I'm here. I've got two friends here. They say hi.
Howdy.
Hello.
Okay, they don't say hi. They say howdy.
Yeah, you don't tell us what to do. You're not the boss of us.
This is the week of July 17th through the 24th. In your 7-day 4-star cruise! This week you had Black Panther and Prowler. Does that sound right?
It sounds completely accurate.
Did you do that?
Nope. I've received nothing but endless beatings from Prowler. I don't know what to do. I need advice.
Really?
Yeah. Nonstop beatings.
Match away your own fortified tiles.
Oh, okay.
That's all I did. Every time you match a fortified tile, it does damage a significant amount.
Oh.
So get some specials out there. He'll fortify them for you if they're not already fortified, and match away.
Okay. I'll give that a try immediately. Thank you.
Sure.
Hey, we all have the same build on Black Panther. Look at that.
Yeah, we do. It's really weird.
That never happens. Next Monday, you've got Star-Lord versus Gamora. That should be an easy win for you. You can punch
which,
her.
Which version? I guess the 4-star version. That's always the case. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Gamora's 3-star.
Gamora's a 3. 4-star Star-Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems viable.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay there. In Storyland, you've got, I think, a day left to finish up your Welcome to S.H.I.E.L.D. if you have not done that yet.
Oh, crap.
The Infinite Pursuit is running now. That'll get you Doctor Doom, Lady Octopus, Phoenix, Jubilee. Placement is Sebastian Shaw. And I looked at this. It's like May Parker. And I'm like, May Parker? That's a character? And I'd already forgotten that she existed.
Wow.
Well, she's a 3-5-er, so she's stuck in my mind for a while. It's just calling her May Parker is the twist.
Yeah.
If she's not being called Aunt May, then I get a little confused.
Starting tomorrow, Ian, Galactus Hungers, boss event.
Yeah, I've heard of that. That's the OG boss event.
Yeah. And there should also be a puzzle vault tomorrow.
Ooh.
I have no details on what the rewards are going to be in Galactus Hungers. It wasn't in-game last I looked.
Dude, what's a puzzle vault? Tell me more.
I have no information, just that there will be one.
Oh, sorry, I got pumped about it like it was something I should have known. And I was like, wait a minute, what's a puzzle vault? How do I puzzle vault? Does Galactus make me puzzle vault?
No. The thing that where you have to solve the, you know, make 35 strike tiles and those things.
Puzzle gauntlet?
Yeah.
Oh, which is similar to a puzzle vault, except totally different word.
Sure. I wrote down
vaults are things that I put tokens into and covers come out of.
You're not wrong.
Okay.
All right. PvP, you've got 4 days left to Soul Train. If you have not finished your Soul Train for your Electra Switch and Dark Veil.
Nice.
Strange Days is running right now. Get you Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider. Placement is Gore and some Heimdall.
Yeah.
In the news, it's been hot and dry here in PA.
Oppressively so.
That's the news. I got. All the corn here is like, you know, sticking straight up, begging for water.
Got quite a bit of rain earlier today. Maybe not enough, but.
Yeah, I've had some ongoing rain from like 4 p.m. until just before the show. I had hurricane-like winds yesterday, knocked over some giant trees in my neighborhood, lots of branches, lots of power outages. That could have been Monday night. I don't remember what day of the week it is anymore. They're all the same. I'm so sorry.
That's all I got for news. You got any news?
I do not need any additional news.
All right. Let's move on to this week, then, on It's Always Sunny. Kang rules the world.
Nice. I know this only because... we've done this segment before, and I've at least heard of the show. I feel like there have to be so many titles of Sunny that start The Gang that could have easily been turned into The Kang, and you missed them all. How is that possible?
Boy, that's probably half the episodes start that way, too.
Yes, and not a one. Did you tap into that?
I didn't, no.
Man, your pun game is getting weak, boy. Weak. Let's talk about Kang, the Conqueror version. He is a 5-star character. He is a villain, a technologist. He is time-displaced, multiversal, cosmic, and genius. Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
Supra. Isn't it supra genius?
Oh, is it? I believe you. Conquer.
Causes. I don't know. I could be wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't remember. I never... had subtitles on when I was a child. I didn't have that option, so I will never know. I'll investigate, though. Let's talk about Conquer. It costs 6 black AP. Kang deals 3,588 damage to the target. Then, if one does not exist, creates a 2-turn black countdown tile that deals 886 damage per turn it was on the board to the frontmost ally when it expires or is destroyed. Otherwise, add 1 turn to the tile. Now, this scales up to 6,781. No, it doesn't. It scales up way beyond that, and it's outrageous. It scales up to 27,258 damage and 6,410 to the frontmost ally. Realm shift. Let's see what this guy is doing. Let's see. Kang shifts the target to another realm, creating a two-turn fortified blue countdown tile. While this tile exists, the target is away. When the target returns, they take 532 damage for each turn they were away. Oh, this costs 9 blue AP, by the way. I apologize. Passive. At the start of his turn, Kang's team regains any AP lost from destroy or steal effects. If all of Kang's opponents are downed or away, he wins the battle. So that scales up to, let's see, it's a four-turn countdown tile, and it's doing 2,500 damage. And, wow, 6 purple AP for Cosmic Tactician. He adds one turn to the duration of all countdown tiles, then deals 239 damage for each turn remaining among all the countdown tiles, and 239 damage for each enemy strike, a protect, or attack tile. The passive component allows, whenever an opponent creates a countdown tile, add one turn to its duration. Whenever a countdown tile is destroyed, Kang gains 1 blue AP. That scales up to a damage of 1,730 on both varieties. So, everything he does is affordable. It does a good amount of damage. I realize, again, that, Realm Shift is a good way to deal with resurrecting characters or other things like that. Well, or to, just spam enemies away, if possible. Not to the point where it's game-breaking, but it's definitely potent. I'm not anywhere near the 5-star territory of this game just yet. But, I didn't really pay attention to what scaling is up. It looks like it's a 5-5-3. Do you guys have Kang? Is he a 5-5-3?
That's what I have.
Nice.
But that a 5-5-3 is the third pick.
Uh-oh. I'm wrong.
The internet
I should have never trusted Craig.
The internet is somewhat torn between the 4-5-4, which is what I do.
Sure.
And the 5-3-5, the exact opposite build. So,
I just feel like getting that 4-turn blue countdown tile with Realm Shift gives you that much more time to Realm Shift someone else and win the game before that countdown expires and he comes back from being away.
Yeah, maybe. When I use him, I just wait till I get 27 blue and then fire it 3 times.
Oh, okay. There's that as well. Being prepared is probably the better way to do it. Rather than the way that the AI uses Luke Cage by firing his black immediately and then never again.
Right. Oh, yeah. did you just jab me? That's it? One jab? Just one jab? Well, how would you do that? That's funny.
That is Kang the Conqueror 5-star. And that's with Sunny and Xandar.
Good deal. Willie, is there any mail?
There definitely is. So let's start over on the subreddit from HorrorFlamingo4027. He said, "You guys talking about the actual It's Always Sunny show and not the segment got me to remembering how old that show is." I was a fan of that show back on MySpace, where they premiered an episode 17 years ago. I know it hasn't been as long as The Simpsons, but it's weird that I have... or that a live-action show set in a bar is now 2 years away from being able to legally drink in said bar. Jeff Duggan did respond and said, "In Philadelphia, it's 4 years away. Drinking age is 21 in most of the U.S. But Flamingo came back and said, "I think my reply is just too disjointed. Sunny premiered in 2005, and in its third season, they did the MySpace episode. So it is 19 years old."
Dang.
Yeah, that's a lot. I guess I should give that show a try. Seems like it's super successful. It must be super funny.
It is super successful, that's for sure.
Mm.
I'll
check it out.
Jeff Duggan then did come back and for his own post said, I forgot to pause after his name, sorry.
Yeah.
He says, "I'll skip the backgammon versus Pictionary commentary because I was out of town last week. First question, though, who's my fellow fan of classical musical theater? The episode title is on point tonight.
What do we make the title of the episode?
It was like Doc Be a Lady. Doc Be a Lady Tonight, I believe.
Mm. Yeah.
Which, I don't know, that could be a reference to Guys and Gals, or it could just...
It's 100% a reference to that.
Okay, there you go. It was from Ian, so he should know. And I thought maybe it was just a reference to the, was it Sinatra song? I think it was Sinatra.
It could be. I went with A. I'll accept A or B. If you know the reference in any form, good job. And yes, Jeff, if you liked the title, it was my idea.
Absolutely.
No, he only comments when it's something that I have thrown out there.
Oh, sure. That's generally, yeah.
The once every 2 months where Craig's not bogged down enough to actually type something into the thing, he's like, that episode's, that title's terrible.
Jeff Ollie, screw you.
Jeff also said, Dominion versus Moncala. Dominion isn't just one of the first deck building games. It is the first one. Okay.
Really?
That's what he says.
I believe him.
Ian, Ray, either of you have a tabletop simulator, I'll be happy to endure its crappy interface to teach you to play sometime like next Saturday. I'm sure there's a TTS mod for it someplace. The Moncala mechanic has been poached for some other things, most notably Five Tribes. But the fact that it's a mathematically solved game makes it rather less appealing to me.
Yeah, me too.
Dominion deserves to win this one, not only creating a whole new mechanism for hobby games, but for its Spiel des Jahres win. I didn't know what that was and had to look it up. This is apparently an official, like, Emmys or Grammys for the board game world. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So it has a Spiel des Jahres win. It's said that the designer, Donald X. Vaccarino, had all the cards.
Hey, Vaccarino!
He had all the cards that would ever be seen print in the game. He had them designed when he pitched the game in the first place. That's pretty impressive.
That sounds like something John Lystico would do.
It would. To pitch a fully complete game.
Right.
Yep. Here's
the
game.
I've got an idea.
Well, can we have any expansions? No, this is the whole game. Like, there is no more. This is every card you could ever have. You can only turn the pyramid so many ways. Town without pity. Good times.
It was.
All right, and to finish us up over on the D3 forums, Auberman says, I'm too late for round 3 of the board game bracket, so I'll just cast my vote in the backgammon pile to make it a little closer. He says, backgammon is cool.
I was with you up until that last sentence.
As for round 4, though Moncala is vast and undoubtedly interesting system of games, I have never gotten into it. On the other hand, Dominion is excellent, fun, and not too complex. In the 15 years or so that I have been logging my plays of tabletop games,
oh my,
I have played Dominion second most, with only Android Netrunner being played more. Never even heard of that. Partly that's because it's so fast. Once you're familiar with it, games shouldn't take more than half an hour. All right.
Wait, is that the old CCG Netrunner game from like 1994?
I'm not.
I don't remember Android being a part of that, so I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I don't remember any Android parts, but I remember the game Netrunner.
Samurai says it's based on that CCG.
Okay, then. I have played Netrunner.
Yeah, I have. That's a good game.
Auberman does continue. In fact, I'm a little surprised that you guys are unfamiliar with it, the Dominion game, since you've mentioned Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle a number of different times.
Love that game.
Not having played Hogwarts Battle, I think the main differences are these. Dominion is competitive, not cooperative, and each game Dominion's market is fixed, a set of 10 different action cards, even in the base set there are 25 different cards that can be chosen from, whereas I believe Hogwarts is a sliding set of cards where once one is purchased, it's replaced by another from a deck.
Correct, yes.
That's amazing since he's never played it. I also have never played it and have no idea what he's talking about.
It's a good game. A lot of fun.
He does say, I think you guys would enjoy Dominion. I haven't played it with anybody who hasn't. Well, that's a pretty good
Yeah.
Pretty good endorsement.
Well, we'll find out here in just a little bit. If it wins, I said I'm going to buy it and bring it over next time I visit them. So,
well, yeah, it's going to be like 3 months till this bracket's done. So
I didn't. No, it wins this round.
Oh, I thought you meant had to win like the whole thing.
No, why wouldn't I want a copy of Dominion? That sounds nice.
Okay. All right. All right.
Okie doke. That is it. That's all it's in the mailbag. Hey, thanks, Willie.
Thanks, Willie.
Thanks.
All right. Brought to you by, you should insert your name here by sponsoring something on Patreonify. It's the board game bracket. What do we got? Who's hosting this week, Ray?
Ray is hosting this week.
Sure, because I'm prepared for that.
Ray.
So this week, what did we end up doing? I got to find it again. In any case, I need to follow up with the last week's, right?
Yeah, why don't you give us some results to see if I got a board game to buy or not?
Let me tell you, this was, I think this is a landslide. I'm pretty sure 82% is a landslide.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So this week, Dominion with 82% of the vote goes into the next round.
Okay. Wow. There you go, Ian. Now you're committed.
That's fine.
And I don't even know how to intro this, but we've got two other board games that are going to be detailed by Craig and Ian here. We've got Othello versus Go, which I know so much about in the beginning of the show. I was like, that's the same game, isn't it? But no. I hear from Craig that it is not.
Right? No, very, very different. It seems similar because of the black and white pieces, I believe. But beyond that, I don't know that they are that similar.
Well, apparently I have the same level of Othello experience as you, as I have played it a couple times. But yes. Go ahead.
So Othello, also known as Reversi, I will accept all titles of that game. It is the board is a grid. I did not take the time to educate myself. I think it's an 8x8 grid, to be honest. And there is, I don't want to call them marbles because they are flat. But there's, so that you get discs.
Discs.
Black
yeah.
discs and white discs. It's a heads up style game, two players, as it were. And I believe in the center of the 8x8 grid, they are set up diagonal from each other, like black, black, white, white. And the game is such that when the, if your color is on the two furthest ends of any set of discs, it flips the color. So these are two-sided discs. Black disc on one side, white disc on the other side. So, for example, on one side I have a black disc. In the middle I have a white disc. On the other side I have a black disc. That middle white disc is now flipped to the black disc, and the play switches to the next person. And you continue flip-flopping, and obviously the goal of the game is to have more pieces in your chosen color than your opponent's. But I've heard that it takes minutes to learn and a lifetime to master.
When I was looking up the, you know, what the differences between these games, I stumbled across on YouTube like the 2020, like, I don't know what it was. It was like the Southeast Asian Othello Smash World Championships or some such. And they had like the chess clock, you know, where you only had so much time to play. They got down to like one person had like 4 seconds left and one person had like 16 seconds left before the game was over. But it was interesting.
I like aestheticist. Summary here. Someone had a Go set, didn't know how to play. Othello is born.
Yeah. Maybe. So
yeah, let's find out about Go, and then we'll learn more.
Yeah, Go is one of these ancient games. It's like 3,000 years old or some jibba-jabba. You also place colored discs over there. They are just one color. You know, so you have black and I have white or, you know, whichever. In difference, you don't play your pieces in the squares. You play them on the intersections of the lines. And the learning board is 9x9. The actual real size game, if you're going to play for real, is 19x19.
Ooh.
Which works out to be, I don't remember what it was, like, in turn one, you have like 361 options or something of where you can put your first disc.
Wow. That's so a lot going on.
Yeah, no pieces start on the board. Black always goes first, and you can put your piece anywhere you want. So it's something that's a little different. Unlike, while there is capturing of pieces in Go, that's not really the objective, like it is in Othello.
Right.
You more want to effectively picture yourself building a wall of defenses so that you have an area that is blocked off that your enemies really can't penetrate.
Oh.
And everything that is behind your wall of defenses, you get to count those each one of those intersection points as a point. Right? So if you have it all blocked off and the other person can't play back there, then you get all those intersections as points for you. So it's a little bit different. Like, there are ways to capture a piece. Interestingly enough, so they call, when you put a piece down, obviously, like I said, it's at an intersection. So there's, you know, lines coming off the intersections. If a piece ever only has, is blocked on its sides, it only has like one side that's not blocked by another piece, it's called being in Atari, which is where the name of the Atari video game company came from. Is the guy who founded Atari was a big Go player and used a term from Go to name his company.
That's super interesting.
But if a piece is at Atari, that's one of the ways you can capture it, is you block off its last exit, kind of, and then you can capture it. And those,
okay.
And a captured piece is then subtracted out from the score of the team whose color that was at the end when you add up the points. So if I've captured 10 of your pieces and you've got 51 squares, you then lose 10 points because I've got...
Right.
And something interesting, because black always goes first and there's a big advantage to the game of going first, white is always given 6.5 points at the end of the game for free. The half point being so there are no ties.
Okay.
So if you want to win, you have to plan ahead and watch the boards to make sure you win by more than 7 if you're black. 7 or more.
That's awesome.
So it was very interesting. There's some good YouTube videos on learning how to play Go. What was it though? Was it Magic? MagicGo.org or something like that? You can sign up for their site and they'll teach you all about how to play Go. I don't know. I had never played Go. I've never seen a Go board.
But I'm absolutely compelled.
It seemed like it would take a whole lot of learning to be good at this game. The board is just so big. And because you can put a piece anywhere on the board anytime you want. And on a 19x19 board, you can space out pieces all over the place.
Right. But I mean, again, once you learn the basics of the game, I mean, I don't know that to put it anywhere would be compelling. It seems to be like it's... Actually feels like it's some sort of military strategy game.
I think that's kind of where it was started out as, because you have to like, all right, I get to defend this chunk of territory, so I need to put a block here. I need to put a block here. I'm going to attack here, so I'm going to move forward, you know. But pieces in Go never move. They don't move in any way. Once you put it down, it is there unless it's captured.
Right.
So there's no flipping, there's no moving, there's no... You put it down and there it stays.
Well, that was fascinating. I got to tell you, I didn't know a lot about Go until just now, but...
Yeah,
I only want to know more.
Yeah, I watched a few videos and I'm like, yeah, this is actually pretty interesting. Knew nothing about Go. So I'm excited.
I feel like Go feels like the, I don't know if anybody besides, I'm sure millions of people besides me, I'm speaking specifically the two of you, who watched the cartoon Avatar The Last Airbender, but they have a fictional game in that show called Pie Show that is played throughout the series. I feel like this is the real life basis for what they turned into Pie Show.
Mm.
That was really exciting. All right. Well, I feel like here in Discord will shortly be your ability to vote.
Yeah, I'm hoping Samurai throws it together because all the other votes are under his name. There you go. He's put it up now. So all you have to do is go to the Discord channel, the Puzzle Warriors Discord channel, which you can find the link to at puzzlewarriors3.com. Do a search for vote, and you will find that you can vote for... you'll find all of them, but you can vote for Go or Othello this week. And or you can go to the what's it called? Marvel Puzzle Quest subreddit, or... The Puzzle Warriors post on the D3 forums, all of those are viable and work for voting.
Is anybody else's Discord in like the dark mode with the black disc on the black background?
Looks invisible.
Like, yeah, I'm like, did he actually put something there?
I was waiting for something to show up for way too long.
and I hovered over and I went, oh, there's a thing there. All right, I have voted.
Sweet.
Good times. All right, well, let's move on then. Boost of characters, we ain't got none. Boss event.
Yeah, Galactus, he's filled with hunger.
Doesn't he hit me with gravity things or some such? And
no, he just needs some Twinkies.
No, right. Ian, how about some cold, refreshing pop, pop?
Before I get there, I'm going to take a minute to acknowledge this Mega Bloks Enterprise.
That's pretty sweet.
None other than you. It looks really sweet. I will be honest. I don't know if I'm a snob or if I just don't like the way they fit together. I don't love Mega Bloks.
Mm-hmm.
I find their instructions aren't as easy to follow as Legos, and the pieces just don't love me the way that Lego pieces do.
They don't grip together the way a Lego does.
Yeah, However, this model looks fantastic, and I love the way that the engine's laid up. Are those the engines? I don't know how Enterprise ships work.
Yeah, that would be the antimatter nacelles up there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. They do glow very satisfactorily.
I don't know if you actually said, I missed what you were talking about at first, that this is actually on the graphic because we have no boosted characters this week.
Correct. Very, very five excitingly detailed images with some great... No, the Mega Block minifigs look weird too, unless those are something that... Why? Why?
It required? I think the thing that...
He says it required a lot of rubber mallet hammering? That should not be the case.
Yeah, I love that plaque though. That looks cool.
Yeah, I like the plaque, but I don't like the fact that if you look at the top of the saucer where it says USS Enterprise, that appears to be like 1, 2, 3, 4 different pieces that are stacked on top of each other. And the fact that there's one piece that what it says is S dot space EN... And other spaces and place it just says terp.
Yeah.
Terp.
Oh, I'll totally use that terp piece another time.
Yeah.
Now, granted, anyway. If you're building this, you're never taking it apart, I assume.
But... Yeah, no, that's a great build. All right, let's see what is happening. Oh, it's a pop-up. Craig, I have promises to fulfill from last week.
All right, you said I was going to be amazed this week.
You are going to be amazed. So last week, okay. I treated you to a little 2 a.m., the ballad-driven... boy band, but I realized that everybody knows Craig's a really upbeat guy. He's not a ballad forward kind of guy. He likes to have fun. So guess what I got for you this week, Craig? 2 p.m. the boy band. 2 a.m. too late for you? Check out 2 p.m. You can put your hands up, you can dance around in the club, you can have some fun. I mean, unfortunately it's a 6-piece, which I don't love nearly as much as the 4-piece. But I do like the energy that they bring to the show. They you know, I'm not going to see them in concert anytime soon, but I was not immediately disgusted by them. I just wasn't that interested. But yeah, 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. What a both intriguing and not nearly creative enough idea for two similar but opposing boy bands.
I mean, I would be more down if like some people had left 2 a.m. and found a 2 p.m. or 2 something. PM. Like. And and with a song like Hands Up, shouldn't I be more likely to be doing that at 2 a.m. and not 2 p.m.?
Yeah.
It's all very confusing.
Everybody's feeling wistful and reflective at 2 p.m. and everybody's ready to party at 2 a.m. I hear you. A lot of different dynamics going on.
I do
there,
like the dip to dip to dip that I should put my hands up.
I got some pop now.
All right.
So I... went back to the Legendary Samurai 6-pack, and he pulled out numero 5, and it was from my friends at the Jackson Hole Soda Works, not a sponsor. And I have had their Snake River Sarsaparilla here on this very same show. But today I got none other than the South Fork Strawberry Rhubarb Pop.
Whoa.
Oh, yes, Craig. Again... much in the shocking way that the Breckenridge Blackberry was, this is a totally clear pour, which I do not love. I don't like some hint, visual hint, as to what I'm about to be drinking. Clear tells me a lemon lime. So if you give me a clear and you don't give me lemon lime, I'm already feeling deceived.
Yeah, this should be like maybe, a pale pink.
Yeah, maybe like a white birch beer. I will accept that as a colorless pour as well. But nevertheless... I really enjoyed this. I mean, it's really... they balance the two flavors in a way that a pop needs to be, in my opinion, which is it's very strawberry forward with a very mild rhubarb finish.
Hmm. What did the fam think about that?
My wife was a no thank you, and my son was a thank you, but I don't need to revisit it.
Oh.
So he drank his 4-ounce pour with... Yo, he explored it. He said that the rhubarb finish was too much and that he didn't like it for that reason. But, you know, he was really excited to share the experience with me. My wife took a long sniff and a tiny, tiny sip and was like, blah, nope, disgusting, get it out of my mouth. So, yeah, definitely some mixed reviews. Again, I don't know that I would ever turn one of these down, but I don't know that I'm going to... Well, not that it would be healthy to drink an entire 6-pack, but you know what I mean. I'm happy that... one in a pack is nice. I'm not always thirsty for strawberry rhubarb, but I'm really happy that I tried it. I'm growing fond of the Jackson Hole soda works.
I'm not always thirsty for strawberry rhubarb, but when I am,
I choose Jackson Hole.
I choose Jackson Hole brand rhubarb.
Oh, that commercial does not work in so many ways.
All right, thanks to Magnify.
Yeah, thanks as always to Magnify with a little pop pop.
All right, you got the steam open.
It's opening. While I'm waiting, I'm going to have a sip of this delicious strawberry rhubarb soda.
It's like strawberry wine, 70.
Now, let's see what these covers are all about. Do I have one? I do. It's a 4-star Scorpion Acid Spray. I don't know if I need that or not, but I'm excited. Hey, 50 shards for Shang-Chi.
Ooh, that's nice. Ray, are you doing one or are you doing many?
I am just going to be doing the one. I, however, did not have the game open, so I will be there momentarily.
All right, I will open five. Lockjaw.
Oh, okay. Well, I was ready, but you know, go ahead.
It sounded like you weren't ready. North Star.
Guess it worst.
Thanos. He gave me this whole description about why he wasn't ready. So I'm like,
yeah, that was my way of pausing to get there.
Negasonic, Herpaderp, and the last one's purple. Hey, May Parker, nice. Spider Girl, Static Cling.
I don't even know if there's any of these I need, but we'll see. It doesn't matter. It's a 4-star. Domino, enter the fray.
Sweet.
I have no clue where my people are at.
Let my people go.
No.
Sorry.
So, I kind of loved it, but it was still ridiculous. I don't know how I feel about it. Possibly too ridiculous.
Yeah, this guy. What's on the podcast network? Tell me that.
Oh my goodness, it's called the Soon to Be Named Network. You can find it at soontobenamednetwork.com.
I don't think you can.
No, it's gone.
Yeah, I think it has to be soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com.
Ooh, twist. Check out the Soon to Be Named Network, Soon to Be Defunct Network at soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. Anyway, there's lots of great shows on it. I mean, seriously, check it out, especially if you want more shows with Ray and I or more shows about wrestling. Or if you really like food noises while you're listening to a podcast. If you're that rare fan of the Kit Kat commercial because you like hearing people crunch into candy bars. Mmm.
Selling candy with the Cookie Crunch. Is that a Twix?
I believe it is.
Yeah. Trying to remember how that Seinfeld episode went. Anything else for the good of the order?
I can't say that I have anything left.
Can't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Yeah.
All right. That's it then.
Nice.
Thanks everybody for joining in. As always, comments, suggestions, please fill up Willie's mailbag or postings on the MPQ subreddit or the forums, and Willie will take a look for those things there. You can go to our webpage, click on the Amazon banner, and buy things for, boy, I have no idea what the next
Prime
holiday is.
Prime Day. Today. Get on there, get the deals, get it done.
All right. Prime yourself up something. And maybe we'll get Prime too. I don't know. That doesn't really flow.
No.
Okay.
It's a good try, though.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Goodbye for now. And remember, kids, I need you. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye, friends.
Good night. I got that one.